This morning, and if you want to turn to Revelation chapter 12 again, Revelation chapter 12, we'll look at that passage, and then if you want to turn to Romans chapter 8, Revelation 12, Romans chapter 8, remember we're trying to finish our thoughts on this harmatiology, which is the doctrine of sin, and we've been coming at the or approaching the doctrine with questions and trying to help us understand this doctrine of sin. And this morning, we threw out a couple of questions before coming to our main point, and that is, how can we overcome sin? And we discussed a sevenfold victory over sin through Christ. We covered five of those ideas. But two questions that we asked this morning: are all sins equal? And I'll just mention that again. In Romans 6:23, the Bible says, for all have sinned. All right? Or Romans 6, is that 23? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's Romans 3. That's Romans 3:23. Sorry. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. And so in that, what you see is that one sin is all that is needed to separate you from God. Right, that's James chapter 2. So all sins are equal in separation from God, if that makes sense. But all sins, if you study the Bible, are not equal because the consequences here on this earth are not all the same. So hopefully that'll help you with that question. Then the second question that we asked this morning was, why does God allow sin? If you're thinking about it, and this may make you ponder for a couple of weeks. I've been pondering it for a month or two. So, can God stop sin? In the Bible, you actually will find that God did stop it sometimes. He stopped people from committing it. So why doesn't he stop it? Could he have stopped Adam and Eve? I think he could have. God's omnipotent, isn't he? So why does God allow it? Why does God allow sin? Well, this morning, we looked at the passage in Romans chapter 5, where it tells us God allows sin for you to experience the amazing grace of God. It's amazing that God, even though we sin, that God in his grace will allow us to come back to him. There's another reason why God allows sin, and we see that in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verses 1 through 4. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Go down to verse 12 and 13. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Why does God allow sin? One, for us to experience the amazing grace of God. Also, for us to become dependent in this life on his Spirit for help. You see what it's saying there? Through God's Spirit, here in this passage, for if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. Do you know that after you're saved, you still have that flesh, and many of us, and this can happen daily, we succumb to this flesh, and that which is of the flesh dies. When you sow to the flesh, what do you reap? Corruption. And many of us in our spiritual life, we reap corruption. You know why? Because you're walking in the flesh. But the Bible says that we can walk in the Spirit. Notice what it says. If ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body. Do you want to experience the victory that God wants you to have? Then every day when you get up. It's a prayer that I have put in place many years ago now. Every day I want my flesh crucified. I want the Spirit to live. Mortify those deeds. You will find that your flesh is very much in control. I see it all over America. I see it all over our church. We live in this flesh. And that's why sin reigns. When you put that flesh under and you start walking in the Spirit, you will experience a lot more victory. That's what God desires of us. In Romans chapter 12, and we'll finish up tonight, just a couple of points before we partake of communion. I'll review the ones, but in Romans chapter 12, we read this morning, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him." How? By the blood of the Lamb. By the word of their testimony, they loved not their lives unto the death. This morning, we started, how do we overcome sin? And we gave you a sevenfold victory over sin through Christ. This evening, I'd like to just finish up these last couple of points. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would deal with us, help us to understand as we've looked at this concept of sin, the doctrine of sin. Lord, we could go much longer through this idea of the doctrine of sin, but I believe that we are seeing that it is a very sobering subject. It is something which we as Christians must deal with on a daily basis. It is not something that is just taken care of at salvation, which sin is taken care of. The sins of the past, present, and future. But Lord, we have this flesh here until we get into our glorified body in heaven. This flesh loves to sin. I pray that as Christians this evening that we would understand that we can still have victory after salvation through Christ. Lord, we ask for your sustaining grace to empower the message. And Lord, that you would do that which I cannot do, and that is speak to hearts. We ask and claim your power in Jesus' name. Amen. So this might be on your outline. I don't know if it was on your outline, but this morning I didn't mention it. There's a man that wrote a couple of books. His name was Watchman Nee, and he said this, "Outside of Christ, I am only a sinner. But in Christ, I am saved. Outside of Christ, I am empty. In Christ, I am full. Outside of Christ, I am weak. In Christ, I am strong. Outside of Christ, I cannot. In Christ, I am more than able. Outside of Christ, I have been defeated. In Christ, I am already victorious." How meaningful are the words, "in Christ"? Christ should mean more and more to us as we grow in our knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Remember, that's said in 2 Peter, I believe, chapter 3. And so this morning we considered that Christ is the answer to the sin problem, even as a believer. I think sometimes we forget that he was the answer to our sin problem as an unbeliever. He's the answer to the sin problem as a believer too. And so this morning we looked at five of our 7 points, and I'll review them quickly. First, sin defiles, but Christ cleanses. As a believer this evening, if you are burdened down or if you are overloaded with sin, then come to Christ again and 1 John 1:9 it. Come to Christ and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Sin defiles, but Christ cleanses. Secondly, sin brings captivity, but Christ delivers. That's the word redeemed. We sing redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. That means to purchase. You know what Jesus did for you? He released the bondage of sin. And yet many of us as believers, we go back to those shackles of sin and we put them on willfully. How sad. How sad that we get bound in sin when through Jesus Christ we can have freedom. Thirdly, sin destroys, but Christ regenerates or remakes us. That's the 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's a new creation. And then we also looked at the passage in Jeremiah where Jeremiah is sent down to the potter, and the potter takes that clay and he breaks it and he remakes it. He doesn't just take that jar and patch it up. He takes it and breaks it down and remakes it and reforms it. And that's what Christ can do for us. He wants to be remaking us. He wants to not just wants us to reform us. Remember Romans 12:2? He wants to transform. That's the idea. That word transform is the Greek word metamorphosis. Remember with a little caterpillar that is crawling, and then all of a sudden it metamorphosizes, right? Into what? Into a beautiful butterfly. That's what Christ can do for us on a daily basis. He can change us into the image of who? His Son. Then number four, sin fills with lies and deceit. But Christ brings the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 21, I'm just going to read that verse. In Ephesians chapter 4, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Then number 5, sin leaves one blind and in darkness. This verse was very interesting to me. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it says this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. I think that many times, even as believers, we let sin come into our lives, and then all of a sudden it's cloudy and dark. You've been there. I've been there. And God's trying to get through, and sometimes it's through preaching. Sometimes it's through my own personal devotions. Sometimes it might be a friend. It might be a pastor friend that I have, and they'll call up or they'll share something, and God's trying to get through to us. But sin brings darkness. What does darkness do? Does darkness make you feel loved? Darkness normally makes you feel very alone, doesn't it? It can be scary, you know, and all the phobias, one of them is darkness. And that's what sin does. It brings fear and loneliness. It brings dread. But what does Christ bring? Remember in John, we said this in John 9:5, we read it this morning, one of the I Am's, John, the Apostle John, one of the words that is neat that he uses through the Gospel of John is light. Remember in John 1, talking about Jesus and talking about John the Baptist, it was saying that John the Baptist was sent to bear witness of that light. And then Jesus in John 9 said, I am the light of the world. Come to Christ. And then, after salvation, do not forget that Christ is the one who will bring light into your life. Christ is the one, not Satan, not sin. Why is there darkness? Why is there fear? Why is there dread? Maybe because you've walked away from Christ. Number 6, and we see this in Luke chapter 1, if you want to turn there, Luke chapter 1. Number 6, sin brings an emptiness to the life and to the soul. But Christ brings fulfillment and satisfaction. There is nothing that can satisfy the soul like Jesus Christ. And that is not just true for the unbeliever. It is true for the believer. You will find that the world and the flesh will try to allure you away from that which is the most fulfilling. And I think all of us that are older in life, we can say, yeah, it caught me once. It's got me a couple of times. But then Christ comes and he reaches out to you in his grace and in his mercy. And you start realizing that the things of this world need to grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You see in Luke chapter 1 and verse 53, remember this is, if you notice the text, this is verse 46 it starts. This is Mary's, what do you call that, the Magnificent, all right, if you're Catholic. All right, and you'll notice if you're Catholic that she says that Jesus is her Savior. That'll send your priest on a loop, all right, so feel free to ask him. All right, but look at verse 53, because this is in her prayer. She says that Christ hath filled the hungry with good things. Filled the hungry with good things. Christ can fill that famished soul. Then look at John 10 and verse 10. John 10, 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it, what? More abundantly. John 15 and verse 11 says this, if ye, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be what? Empty? No, might be full. You see, in Christ, there is satisfaction. There's fulfillment. This world will leave you empty. It'll leave you wanting more and more and more. Remember, even in the Old Testament, even the Proverbs, I can't remember if it's David or if it's Job, that says the eyes of man are never satisfied. And you'll find that. You'll find that with material things. Material things, you'll get a car, and as soon as you drive it off the lot, there's another car that drives by, and you're like, wow. That's a nicer paint job. Yeah, that was real satisfying. That 30 seconds, all right, that they got you, all right? Oh, yeah, and it's gone. It's the same way with, it could be the same way, it's the same way with how house things, you know that. As soon as you paint your house, or that could be, I mean, that's true. I like to have my car clean, but it seems like as soon as I clean my car, some bird flies over. It's like, and I'm like, of all the places in the world, all right, you had to choose my car to drop, all right? There it is, you know, it's just over and over. The things of this world will not satisfy. Sin brings an emptiness to the life and soul. Christ brings fulfillment and satisfaction. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. The world is empty. Don't forget that the allurements of the world and the flesh and its emptiness. The last one, sin brings ultimate destruction. How do we know that? Well, just in that passage that we read in Romans chapter 6, most of us know it. For the wages of sin is what? It's death. And remember what James tells us in the book of James, James chapter 1. All right, I'll turn there so I don't misquote it. But in James chapter 1, he says this, then when lust, or when every man is tempted, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, but then it says, but when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, what does it do? Brings forth death. Don't forget that sin destroys things. Sin, all right, we have many married couples here. You let sin into your marriage, it'll destroy it. It'll hinder your relationship. Husband, you let sin in, you want to have You want to have some your private thoughts and your private sinful pleasures? Sin brings death to your marriage relationship. Children, kids, teenagers, you want to ruin your home? Allow sin in. Sin kills things. It destroys things. As a church, do you want to murder this church? You want to kill it? Allow sin to just be comfortable sitting right here. Allow sin to just be comfortable in our midst. And you know what will happen? God and sin do not mix. They don't. Study the Bible. Study, we're looking at the doctrine of sin. God and sin do not mix. It's not allowed in His presence. And so then, we as believers need to have sin distanced from us. So sin brings destruction, but what does Christ bring? Victory. Read a couple of passages and we'll be done here. Romans 8. Romans 8 and verse 31. Notice what it says there. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? That's Romans 8, starting in verse 31. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, what are we? We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Who is that? That's Christ. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is Christ Jesus, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, two more passages. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, I love this verse, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Many years ago, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was reading a daily newspaper and he saw in the newspaper, it caught his attention that a certain pastor, which he knew very well, was accused of murdering a woman in his church. There was another pastor friend that was there with him, and Dr. Jones was appalled, and he said, I know that man. That is a lie. There's no way. They should not be so quick to cast judgment on this pastor. The next day, in the newspaper, a full confession was made from the pastor. He had fallen in love with that woman, had carried on an affair with that woman for years. Then at last, the affair was going to be exposed. And so in order to not face the embarrassment, he hatched a plan to kill the lady. Pastor, he did that which he would never have dreamed of. Sin had a different ending than what he expected. And so it will be with you. Sin never has a happy ending. It always ends in destruction. There was an evangelist in the early 1900s who wrote the following lines of a song that we sing. He saves me from every sin and harm, secures my soul each day. I'm leaning strong on his mighty arm. I know he'll guide me all the way. Saved by his power divine, saved to new life sublime. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved. Philosophy says, think your way out. Science says, experiment or invent your way out. Militarism says, fight your way out. But Christ says, I am the way out. When it comes to sin in your life, remember, Christ is the key. Heads bowed, eyes closed.